welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Glass. And with the Lord's grace and help, we're going to continue on looking at a passage of Scripture that is full of lessons for us. And this is in the book of 1 Kings. We're going to be looking in detail at the 13th chapter. But by way of background, at this point in time in Israel, Solomon, of course, had disobeyed God. He became really idolatrous. He began to worship the gods that his wives served and worshiped. And as a result, God was angry with him. And under the reign of his son Rehoboam, the United Kingdom was divided. 10 tribes followed Jeroboam, and Rehoboam had Benjamin and Judah. So this was a very critical time in the history of God's people. And we understand as we look at the preceding chapters, the background, that Jeroboam had been promised by the Lord through the prophet that he would make for him a house just like he did for David if he would walk in obedience. But we find that his character was one that he was willful, he was rebellious against the Lord, he was seeking glory and power. He was afraid that if people continued to worship God at Jerusalem, they'd be drawn back to Rehoboam and he would be killed. So basically, he set up his own form of worship. There were new centers of worship in Bethel and Dan, a new altar of sacrifice. Verse 31, chapter 12 says, he made an house of high places. He made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not of the sons of Levi. He created a new annual feast. Verse 30 says, he offered upon the altar which he had made in Bethel the 15th day of the 8th month, even in the month which he had devised of his own heart, and ordained a feast unto the children of Israel. He offered upon the altar and burnt incense. And of course, he had golden calves in Bethel and in Dan. So this is the setting. Now in chapter 13, verse 1, it says, behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. Now, it's very interesting as it accounts this historical event that there's not a name of the prophet. It's not given. And I believe that was purposive by the Holy Spirit. So it would be an object lesson for believers of all time, including the time in which we're living. One thing we do know, he was a true believer. He was called, the scripture says, a man of God. And that's not a small title. Here was someone who had personal dealings with God. He was a servant of the Most High God whose heart and life belonged to Jehovah. He was a true servant of God and not a mere professor or time server. In other words, he was a man of God. God was sending him on a purpose. And this is what occurred in verse 2 of chapter 13. And this is the prophet now. He cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name. And upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. My goodness. It says he came by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. So he was a man with a message. He was sent by God. God had given this prophet a ministry, and this ministry was a ministry of warning and condemnation. He was called to minister to the king of the 10 tribes of Israel, and he was someone that God chose, even though he's unnamed. God had anointed him, lifted him up, fitted him as a vessel for his own use and purpose. 2 Corinthians 4 and 7, we, each one of us, beloved, have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So he was a man of courage. When it says he cried against the altar, he was going into the enemy territory. It took courage to leave Judah, to go to Bethel alone, and to deliver what was a very undesirable and unwanted message of God's judgment to the appointed king. It says he cried against the altar which Jeroboam had created in the word of the Lord, even when the king was right standing by. The word of God was burning in his soul, and he could not but speak the things which he'd heard from God. Makes you think of that incident in Acts, the 4th chapter, verse 20. You know, it was the same with John and Peter when they were forbidden by Jewish leaders to speak in the name of Jesus. And what did they say? They said, it's better for us to obey God rather than man. So, as we shared verse 2, he was saying upon this altar men's bones would be burnt. And in verse 3, it goes on, and he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. At the beginning of King Jeroboam's idolatry, he lost no time in setting up what he wanted, because he was fearful and he wanted to continue in his position of authority. But also, God was very quick to warn his rebellious people. And to say that man's bones would be burned, that was a fearful desecration. And it spoke at once of the complete doom of the altar at Bethel, as well as it indicated the survival of David's house. The ashes connected with the fat part of the offerings were to be scattered, indicating an invalidation of the sacrifices. This is really a remarkable prophetic word, because this unnamed prophet named Josiah, and you realize that this precise, specific prophetic word was fulfilled about 300 years later. And this is, you know, people question, well, you know, is the Bible really God's word? There are so many instances where prophets spoke of events, prophetic events that were in God's heart. God knew when they would happen. He knows the end from the beginning. And we know, I mean, Isaiah spoke of the birth of the Messiah. In 2 Kings, the 23rd chapter, verses 15 through 18, we see this actually fulfilled. This unknown prophet actually names who the man is going to be, Josiah, and that what his actions will be. In chapter 23, verse 15, let me take a moment to read. Moreover, the altar that was at Bethel and the high place which Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, had made, both that altar and the high place he brake down and burned the high place and stamped it small into powder and burned the grove. And as Josiah turned himself, he spied the sepulchres that were there in the mount. And this, I'm kind of getting a little ahead of the story. Some of you may, of course, remember it. He sent and took the bones out of the sepulchres and burned them upon the altar and polluted it according to the word of the Lord, which the man of God proclaimed, who proclaimed these words. Isn't that amazing? 300 years before. Then he said, what title is that I see? And the men of the city told him, it's the sepulchre of the man of God, which came from Judah, this prophet, and proclaimed those things that thou hast done against the altar of Bethel. And he, Josiah, said, let him alone, let no man move his bones. So they let his bones alone with the bones of the prophet that had come out of Samaria. So what an amazing, amazing prophetic word that was going to be filled in the future. Now let's go on in chapter 13, and I want to read verses 4 through 5. And it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which he had cried against the altar in Bethel, he was angry, because this is what he had done, right? That he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, lay hold on him. And his hand, which he had put forth against him, the prophet, dried up, it withered, so that he could not pull it again to him. The altar also was rent. Remember, he said there would be a sign. And the ashes poured out from the altar according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. Now, this is pretty dramatic. So, we see that the prophet was a man of God, and he was a man of God's power. God bore witness to what the prophet was saying. He demonstrated the prophet's testimony by signs and wonders. There were two specific miracles we see in these verses. Number one, there was the withering up the king's hand when he was, you know, saying to his guards, seize him. It was stiffened, it was paralyzed. And then, miraculously, the altar was rent and the ashes were spilled out. And beloved, that's God's ways. You know, it says in the New Testament, if we will preach the word, we will have signs following. Signs following are always an evidence that the man or woman of God is not serving God in their own strength. This unnamed prophet had power with God because he spoke in obedience in the name of the Lord. And God used his servant to display his wonder-working, miraculous power. And for us, New Testament believers, if we will believe, what does Mark 16:17? And these signs, beloved, shall follow them that believe. That's you and me, brother and sister. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, they shall recover. So God gave these signs to demonstrate the validity of the prophetic words that were given. The withering of the king's hand, that's symbolic. Because, you know, the right hand of a king, that's symbol of power and authority. And it symbolizes, of course, the miserable failure of man's strength and policy when opposed to the law and the judgment of God. The supernatural sign to Jeroboam should have proved a severe warning to him. But instead, well, my time is running away, and we'll have to find out on tomorrow's broadcast what happens. This is just a fascinating, dramatic story. So I hope you can be with us as we continue on. Thank you for joining me today. I do love you, my spiritual family. And I invite, if you have prayer needs, please do write. The announcer will give our contact information. And I look forward to having you join me tomorrow at the same time. God bless you. I love you. And until then, this is Sister Glass. Say, may God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.